I don't know about you guys, but I got fucking crunk this St. Patrick's Day. I'm still hungover.
Wow, you went wild?
What a wild one. I watched the Circle Brazil. I drank two glasses of wine. I'm still feeling it.
Oh, as an Irish Catholic, I can assure you that is what we intended. We said, drink something green and watch Brazilian reality television.
I feel really guilty. Just yes. Inherent self-guilt.
Yeah. I was saying to Sydney, like, God, this is a real bummer of a St. Patrick's Day. And then I remembered, wait a minute. I have a five-year-old. They've all sucked for half a decade. I haven't had fun for 6 years.
Well, imagine how miserable her St. Patrick's Day is. She doesn't know.
That's true. Yeah. She doesn't get to get blazed.
She doesn't know the standard.
We had to talk about something else to try to get energy up.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
My energy's great. I'm talking to human beings.
You are just living the life.
I should mention, this is like a cold... I didn't prep her. This is like a cold...
Oh, no, I'm...
Yeah, you're
sorry. Yeah. It's got to be a warm open.
Yeah, we're not there.
Because right now it is the definition of a cold open. Okay?
We're not there
and
yet.
And I've been hanging back in disgust. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that is it. Actually, we did get it in talking about how we didn't get it. We did get
is
it.
Is that what it was?
Amazing.
We came.
That was it.
We came full circle, Brazil.
Oh, damn!
Griffin's out forever.
No, oh, I can't keep up this Griffin-like pace.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about the order here.
Ah, shit. Well, guys, you just fill in the fucking gaps. This isn't rocket science. My name is Justin McElroy, I know the best game of the week. Either one of the two of you can just, like, do
it. I'm so used to going last,
there's no... You're going to get... What, are you going to get a citation? You're going to get...
It's going to be weird, because the energy is going to be way up here when I go at two, and then...
Okay.
You know?
Now, this is good. This is good. This is good. Plant, can you do your second? And then at least you do your third to roll out the fucking red carpet for Russell Freshdick to bring it home.
Should I also introduce Russ? Like now he's a special guest.
That'd be great.
And as always, it's Russ. Fuck. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I went to hell and back to bring you the best game of the week.
My name is Elise Willems, and my best game of the week is the hellish life that I am living, and also Doom Eternal.
My name is Russ Freshick, and I know the best game of the week.
Hello, and welcome back to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in interactive entertainment. It's a Game of the Year podcast that goes all year long. It's like a book club, but for games. And we have finally, the games are here, and boy, just in time, I would say. The video games arrived right when we needed them the most, as they so oft do. We're going to talk about Doom Eternal this week, but first... stepping in for Griffin McElroy, who was supposed to go to Disney World and didn't. It's Elise Willems. She's the lead producer, writer, and creative force at Funhouse. And we are so happy to have her here on the program. Welcome, Elise.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
I already like her better than Griffin.
Oh, no. Yep. I did mention earlier that I hope that Griffin, who was unceremoniously dumped this week, despite not being at the happiest place on earth, I hope that he's like lurking in the background, just full of resentment and anger that he was not included.
Yeah.
I will admit, definitely, Griffin asked me four or five times whether we still needed him to come on the show. And I was like,
but
no, we do
not. I think it
was
just to try to score a copy of Doom early. I think is what he was angling for. Right.
Question, to set the critical boundaries, what is your favorite video game ever? Don't think about it. And what is your least favorite? Yep, just like, give it to us.
Oh, My favorite video game is Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. Mm-hmm.
For this is the only correct answer, and you've gotten it in one. Oh my gosh, that is the best video game.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. For a lot of emotional reasons as well. My least favorite. I guess I don't really dwell on the least favorite. Like Tropico. I apologize to all the Tropico fans.
Finally.
Got him.
Somebody take a Tropico down a peg.
You've had it too good for too long, Tropico.
Well, they do just keep making them, don't they? They do. There are just so many of them. It's like, didn't we get it? I feel like we must have gotten it by this point.
That feels like I'm doing a disservice because there are lots of bad video games, but
none of them are worse than Tropico.
That's the genre that just doesn't really do it for me, I suppose.
Yeah. Sure.
Plant, Christopher Thomas Plant, do you want to whisk us away through the incredible world of Doom Eternal?
I most certainly do. Hello. I'm here to tell you about Doom Eternal, a video game that really I think everybody needs in their life, assuming that they can play games rated M for mature, because this is a mature video game. Doom Eternal...
In every sense of the word.
It takes off where Doom 2016 left off. If you don't remember any of that lore, bless you. Neither did I. Here's the long short of it. Earth is taken over by hell demons who didn't come from hell, I believe. I believe they came from the planet Mars. Well, they came from hell, kind of.
Via Mars.
There's hell energy via Mars. Got it. Anyway, the point is, demons have taken over Earth. You are a one... person army slash god now. You are not a mere soldier. You are not, you know, just the average video game soldier. People are terrified of you everywhere you walk. There is a story in this game. Every time they even dare to start it, your character walks in, says nothing, and basically every character goes, hey, I don't know what we were talking about, but that guy's thick.
This is the only video game character where the racking of a shotgun is his most prominent line of dialogue and most quotable. Like, literally, there are many conversations that he ends and begins with racking his shotgun, and that is the end. That is all the discussion that is necessary.
So, in terms of how the game works, you go from point A to point B. You kill everything in a room to clear it. That allows you to progress forward. Sometimes you get keys. What makes this game different than so many shooters is it's not like Call of Duty or Battlefield or most shooters where you're aiming down a sight. It's much more about movement. You jump and platform and double jump. You gain health by busting open enemies, like literally ripping them in half. Vivisection is very popular in this video game. They've also added a flamethrower mechanic that allows you to get armor. There are increasingly large demons and increasingly large weapons to kill them. That is literally the foundation of this game. If you want to know what the video game is, it's all in the chunk of words. Now, why is it special? That, my friends, is what we are going to discuss. And I want to start off, because I'm most curious here with Hoops, because I'm wondering, did you like this game? Was this good for
Justin is putting on chapstick. Justin.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah. It looks like he's either going to provide pure celebration or utterly shut down my enthusiasm. And I'm not sure
he might be
one.
Wasting good chapstick. Yeah, depending on the quality of his review.
Yeah, it's fucking good. Like, why wouldn't I like this game? It's fun. It's good. Yes, good. Excellent. I like it a lot. It's good. I like it. It's much smarter than it looks, just like Doom, I think, was sort of like that. Like, there's more depth going on. Here's the weird thing about Doom. In a sense, it is an action game. In another sense, it's sort of more like Diner Dash. Okay? Or Cook Serve Delicious or any other, like, time management games. Because really, for me at least, the challenge of Doom is, like, partially, like, the running and shooting and not being blown up. That's, like, half of it. The other half is a sort of like this idea of keeping a lot of plates spinning at once, by which I mean, like, there's a lot of encounters in this game where, okay, so let me back up a bit. Depending on how you dispatch enemies, there's different ways to get what you need, right? If you set them on fire and kill them, you get armor. If you lower their health and then do what's called a glory kill, which is like they're flashing and you do a melee attack on them, you get health. And if you use a chainsaw on them, which refills over time. Then you get armor, or sorry, ammo. And that's kind of interesting because it's very easy to forget about certain mechanics in the heat of a fight and then notice like, oh my God, my health's running low, or I'm running low on ammo. And it's because you forgot to like keep that part of the rotation mm-hmm. going. Like, okay, I should bring the chainsaw into it more, and that will like keep the balance because it's so fast. There's not really a lot of like tactical thought. It's not about like, let me run to this corner and try to bring these guys into this. Like, it's not, it's like in the moment making split decisions. And like, for me, the biggest challenge is like remembering all those different mechanics that I have at once, which are all sort of on cooldowns and cycles and stuff, so I can integrate them into the flow. Because once you've got all the plates spinning at once, like, it's a much smoother experience. But like, even forgetting about one, like you have a frag grenade on a timer, right? And like, even forgetting about that, which I would often do, and I'm like, God, this is hard. There's so many guys all around me, and oh, wait a minute, I'm just gonna blow all of them up. That's what I think is really interesting about combat in Doom.
You played on Xbox, right, Elite?
Oh yeah, I played on Xbox One.
And how did you find the like? I don't know. So I played on PS4. I'm used to playing the original Doom on PC. This is the one that came out in 2016. And when I played it on PC, I found that like I was able to like do these like 360 spins and like do like outrageous stuff. And then once I was like on a controller, it kind of slowed me down a little bit. It wasn't bad, but I don't know. What was your experience?
I mean, my experience was similar to Justin's, and I think like it does slow you down compared to PC. And I do find that you use the environment less. Like, I would have the... It's similar to the way, like, Justin was describing not necessarily using your full arsenal to its potential. Mm-hmm. I would clear an area, and then I would look around and see that all of the little jump pads and stuff that I could have been using to propel myself in the air and evade enemies and do all kinds of cool shit... It did not even occur to me as I was in the throes of like battle that those were all there. And I think maybe part of that is if you're playing on a controller and you're maybe a little bit limited in your range and your movement and you're not doing those 360 spins, maybe you're not noticing the environment around you as much. And maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
But I
also found myself taking advantage of like weak points a lot less.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's some like fine aim stuff. Like it tells you with every enemy, like here's where you should shoot them to make it easier. And that is like a lot trickier on a controller to hone in on.
Yeah.
And once you get the scope and you can kind of like take out those points a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like with the, who's the big heavy guy? The Mancubus. Oh, yeah. The Mancubus is my favorite, that big boy. You can take out his two, you know, arms. Once you kind of get that scope, you're like, oh, okay, I'm taking that out. The spider.
Yeah.
I forget what that is called too.
Arachnodrome, probably.
Yeah. I kind of going off what you were saying, I found that difficulty is crucial in this game. Like what difficulty you set the game at, and the game wants you to push yourself out of your comfort zone, which I wish every game did this. So you can change your difficulty at any time in the game, and it doesn't affect your progression whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So there's not like, oh, well, you're playing on a harder mode, so you get better rewards.
What about them trophies, though?
Or you lose these things. Like, you pretty much don't get punished really at all for changing your difficulty throughout it. So when I played on PC, but played with controller, and the two things I did is I put it on ultraviolence, which is, I guess, the hard mode, which I normally would not do at all, and I boosted the sensitivity on the direction pad or the joystick. And I found that like I never really was struggling too much, but it was forcing me to use all those things. Like if I didn't take advantage of the entire environment, I was utterly pulverized. And this isn't like one of those like awful, there's only one right way to play it. You should play it on this difficulty. You should be miserable for hours, or else you're not really getting the experience.
Not a true gamer.
Not a real gamer. Right. I think like what I liked about this game was knowing that I had that safety net of like, hey, if this starts to like just suck, or like one, there's a boss that we can talk about in a second called the Marauder that happens later in the game that is truly miserable. And I hope is the first character to just be fully patched out of a video game. that like during that, it's like, whatever, I'm just going to boost this down to like the easiest difficulty mode and just destroy this thing so that I can get back to the parts of the game that are actually a pleasure.
Yeah, I had one boss encounter where I died several times, and then it was like, hey, there's this thing, Sentinel Armor. It's just like better. And if you want to put it on, you just can, and it'll make you harder to kill if that seems fun. I was like, yeah, it seems fun. Actually, let's do that. Because it's like, doesn't give a shit. I think that it's trying to keep the spirit of like, you should feel like this Doom guy, this god, this slayer. And if you die 13 times, then it's like, it kind of ruins that illusion. So, yeah. Hey, just throw some other stuff on. Who gives a shit?
I've never understood developing a game that you wouldn't want people to keep playing.
Yeah.
Like that, that you would want to create so many obstacles in that you wouldn't want someone to try to stick with it or maybe create some avenues throughout that they can kind of pivot if they need to.
It's so funny because when you think about the like, or the history of Doom, what I always think of is the original difficulty levels where it's like, I don't even remember the names of it, but it's like, if you picked anything below hard, it's like, coward, big wuss. And now it's like, just do whatever you want. You want to feel more powerful? Hey, no beef. Just go in and kill your mancubuses.
A lot of the difficulty for me was sort of self-imposed because there are these, and I love this, it's like, it's a big Bethesda action game thing. I feel like a lot of action games have adopted it where it's like challenges within the like flow of the game to upgrade your weapons or whatever. And I have a very bad habit of like focusing on those and ending up dying a lot. Cause I really like, if there's an enemy that I need to kill with this certain weapon, like I will not switch. I will go get the ammo I need. I'll be absolutely laser focused on that. And I will like get killed 10 times before I finally relent. Like, okay, I'm just not going to get this one time. But I enjoy that aspect of it. It helps it feel a little
more. I think they balance those really well. I also think it's funny cause Plant mentioned earlier that this game is M for mature and not appropriate for youths. And what's funny about that, to me at least, is I think this is more appropriate, not for like a 6-year-old, but for like a 12-year-old, more appropriate for a 12-year-old than Fortnite is, to be perfectly honest.
Wait. So just so everybody knows who's listening, Fortnite is a game in which cartoon characters build things and they shoot people and there's no blood. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
We're all on the same page.
But everybody looks like human people, cartoon human people.
Yes.
Doom is a game in which you find the Mancubus, you shoot off its arms, you rip out its heart, and then you make it eat its own heart, and then the heart is explosive, so it like burp farts its entire body off, and then like
proven my
point. You're saying is a 12-year-old should slay the Mancubus.
Yes, 100% a 12-year-old should slay the Mancubus. That's my point. Okay. Is like, this is so far from like realistic gore or anything you would see in humanity that there's no connection to anything that I would find like inappropriate. It's just like so goofy. It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah, it's like cartoon violence to an extent. It's how I feel about Quentin Tarantino, where his violence is so over the top that it's cartoonish.
That might be able to. There are humans getting ears cut off.
Well,
Russ does have limits. Weird. Yeah. Hey, Elise, do you get into tracking down collectibles and stuff like that? Is that something that you like?
No, not as much. I mean, I would be happy when I'd be like, oh, it's a secret, or oh, I found part of the lore. But it's generally like, for me, I'm more interested in progression, especially with a game like this, knowing that this game is twice as long as the 2016 one. I was like, oh geez, 22 hours. I don't know if I have. We might not even have 22 hours left.
At least
I really dug the flow of the pace is, I think, more.
It's measured compared to the 2016 one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that this game, more than the last, like always has a moment where it's like, okay, you're done fighting. Do you want to look around for collectibles or do you want to move on? And like, what I will say is that I usually don't like tracking down like secret stuff, but they are so well done in this game where there's always like a little, if you look around, there's a little something. There's very few, like, take a blind leap off a thing and, you know, you have to look it up on Game Facts or whatever. Like, there's always, like, a little hint. Maybe there's a light over here, like a weird path, you don't know where it goes, that sort of leads you to them. And I actually enjoyed tracking those down, like, more than I normally would in a game like this. It feels weird sometimes with the flow of what they want you to do. Like, it's very much like a hard-charging, like, bullet train action-wise. But, like, I enjoyed the respite of, like, tracking down collectibles.
Elise, you mentioned the lore. Did you read any of the codexes? And if so, what is your opinion?
Well, Chris, I haven't finished the game yet. Okay. But I fully intend to go back and read every single codex religiously. I promise I will. I'm really busy with the mancubus right now.
Sure.
All the mancubi. I don't want to stop and read. And usually I'm such a story driven person in games. Usually, like, Doom is very much outside of my wheelhouse. Not what I would play ever, because usually I'm looking for a great story and that's my focus. But in this situation, I'm like, that's not really what I'm here for.
I can't tell if the story is real. And by like if it's like, if there's actually a real story and, like, if you read all the codexes, it like really makes sense and, like, is good. Or if it's a parody of, like, dime store, like, sci-fi. Because there is a section towards the end of the game where it starts just, like, you go in through a stage and it gives you, like, 10 lore dumps, like, one after the other. And it's like, in the grim days of the lore Andors, when the fauna was raised. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what.
It's like someone was using, like, a sci-fi fantasy name generator just ran the gamut with all of them and then said, put it all in. Because I do actually kind of dig, like, the story structure of the priests that are the cultists that are trying to do this. And then you've got to find each one. I do kind of dig that. But all the superfluous, like you're saying, the naming convention, I'm so lost.
There's a hilarious, and I know nothing about this lore. I remember that there was, like, a mean businessman in the first one that has not appeared so far. I think he was Satan or something. And in this one, like, you kill one of these priests, and for some reason you visit, like, a ghost king who kind of seems like your dad a little bit, and this guy is even like, you are going a bit far. You actually should not be killing these hell priests. They are actually like, you're not supposed to be doing this. I really wish you would cut it out. You don't know what you're doing. It's like, that's true. I don't know what I'm doing, except I know these hell priests are bad and I'm supposed to kill them for sure.
Something I really loved in terms of just, like, the story and performance was when you're in the facility and you're hunting the cultist and the PA, there's someone coming over the PA system saying, like, the Slayer is in the building. Yeah. Please be aware. Yeah. Like, and I like that they're giving these PSAs for the demons that, like, can't put two intelligible words together.
Right.
They're supposed to listen to these announcements.
Have you met
humans? Don't forget Taco Tuesday.
have you run into any humans yet?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I love that anytime you run into humans, like, everybody's just, like, busy doing paperwork. The world's, like, literally on fire. Like, half of the population is gone. They're doing paperwork, and then they see you, and they're like, oh no. Like, why are you here? I wanted to say, when you were talking about the story structure, because I agree, that's what's so funny about the lore, the hardcore lore being so dense. The real story is hell on Earth. There are three witches. You need to kill them. That might save Earth. That's the full story. And then, like, what an incredible first, I don't know, like, 20 minutes this game has, where they don't even give you a pistol anymore. You just start with a shotgun. You immediately get, like, three upgrades, and you kill one of these, like, three witches in, like, the first 20 minutes. Like, it gives you everything up top. It is that, like, action movie structure of, like, you came here to really just immediately feel good, and we're gonna let you have that right off the bat.
We need to probably move on. And any quick complaints? Because I feel like this has been so glowing for besties.
It's not really a complaint. I'm more curious how you guys felt about it. But like you were mentioning earlier, there's the game gives you those breaths after intense action sequences, and a lot of that I think is in platforming too. And which there's a lot more platforming than I expected there to be in a Doom game, like, especially compared to playing what I did of the 2016 one. I kind of dig the platforming. But I've seen a little bit of, like, mixed reviews from other people.
I dig it. I think it's extremely forgiving. I mean, you have like a double jump and two air dashes that can let you clear like wild amounts of space. I think it's fun, especially as a counterbalance to the action stuff.
Fresh, have you gotten to the back half of the game?
No. Go for it, Plant. Go wild.
Talk about it. So yeah, the platforming is so good. And then in the back half of the game, they're like, seems like you're all having a lot of fun. Like, maybe too much fun. What if it was time to go swimming in poison? There's poison. There's a poison pool, and you learn to swim in a pool of poison that kills you within 3 seconds. And the only way to get out of this pool, and I know it's a fine to spoil it because I'll save everybody the 20 minutes that I wasted on it because I missed the prompt that came across my screen. It switches your melee from the melee button to the dash button when underwater, and you have to break through a wall, but you use a different button than you've used the entire game to do it.
Sure.
And there's like two or three more swimming puzzles. Also, the platforming, while good, very good the whole game, towards the very end, you start like doing 1,000-foot gaps, and you do them at ultra-high speeds. So it's like trying to steer a Lamborghini like a jumbo jet. And it's not bad. It's just different. It doesn't matter, though, because the game is so good. And where the game ultimately goes is just so, so good. It has such a very final... The final moments of the game are fantastic.
I don't like the home base. You have a home ship that you like return to. It's like labyrinthine and like
Doom Palace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way more inscrutable than it should be for like a place that is yours. Like it is there. It's wild that there's jumping puzzles at your house. Like I'd rather just like walk around. There's you get these batteries that you're just used to power up parts of the ship. I literally wandered around for 20 minutes just like trying to find a part of the ship to plug these batteries into. There's like power up, like there's upgrades you can use. You can unlock with them, but there's supposed to be parts of the ship you can power up. I don't have any idea. I just wandered around the ship for a while, and he's got a lot of weird, like, he's got an office. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than an office with lots of papers about demons on it that you can just walk into.
There should be, like, a bulletin board with newspaper clippings and, like, red string with, like, demons, priests, cultists.
I'm here to announce, though, no bathroom, so I don't know.
That's what space is for.
I guess that's what space is for. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk more Doom and other things. Welcome back. One element of the narrative that isn't necessarily the deepest in terms of lore is where Doom Guy comes from, or his name, or where his house is, or
His house. To be fair, we've seen his house. It's in space. It's like a space castle, so it's there. But beyond that,
he does have a house with no bathroom.
And, well, again, space is his bathroom. But beyond that, I didn't read the codexes, so I don't know. Maybe Chris Plant actually knows the real answer to these questions. But it did make me think, like, okay, so you have this guy, right? He's trained in military arts. He's very deadly when it comes to Doom people, like hell people. But he's also really good at gymnastics. So what does that say about him? As a, like, where did he come from? Why? What makes him tick? Chris Plant, do you know?
So I believe that he's motivated by the death or loss of a bunny rabbit. I'm pretty sure that's canon.
Is that in the lore?
I'm pretty sure. And there is, throughout your Doom Palace, there are images of your dead pet rabbit.
I love that.
This is true. I believe I think in the game Quake Champions, which I'm sure all of you made the time to play, we learn that to this day, Doom Guy carries around the lucky rabbit's foot of his dead rabbit. This is true. These are facts.
Wow.
This isn't just known. People don't just spend time reading the Quake Champions lore Bible.
Is he in Quake Champions too? As well?
I don't know. I just know that I read the Quake Champions wiki.
Why?
So
it's morbidly curious.
I know all the lineage stuff where it's like, is he a Blazkowicz? Did he descend from, you know,
right,
whoever?
There are some possible names. There are Doom novels, which I'm sure are very good, where the main character is known as Flynn Fly Taggart.
Oh, yeah.
In the movie Doom, which existed.
As The Rock. Right? He was The Rock in that movie?
Is he Carl Urban?
Carl Urban.
Was he?
Thank you, Elise.
Wasn't The Rock in the Doom movie?
Yourself.
He is, yeah.
Okay, he was in it, but he wasn't the main Doom.
He's the antagonist, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. John Reaper Grimm.
He didn't need Reaper.
Well, on the nose.
He should have just stuck with Grimm. That's all he needed. Right. Why do you need to add on?
Well, I think they probably called him Reaper because his last name was Grimm.
But Grimm is already a badass nickname, so just stick with Grimm.
So my question, Justin, do you think that the original writer was like, okay, the character's name is Grimm Reaper, and the like studio notes were like, that's a little on the nose. What if we made it Reaper Grimm? And they're like, not quite there. And they're like, John Reaper Grimm? And they're like, nailed it. Nobody will see what we're going it. For now.
Well, I think it's probably better without answers.
Yeah, just leave it open.
When asked about it, John Romero said that the Marine is supposed to represent you, the player. I'm going to say John. No, he's not. Because Justin McElroy, quarantined podcaster. I don't think so.
Wait, can I ask you things?
I don't think he's supposed to represent me.
Things Doom Guy does. Do you do acrobatics?
Wait. I'm a blue belt in Taekwondo. Haven't been to class in 3 months.
So
is that anything?
Close. Have you ever fired a weapon?
Yeah. Yeah, bud. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Was it a BB gun?
All kinds of weapons. Sure. Weaponry, Nerf, and non. No. I will say. I'll just leave it at that.
Does anyone else feel more represented than Mancubus? Because that's who I identify with.
I like the Mancubus style. The Mancubus lives for years. All of a sudden, this little man comes out of nowhere and shoots off both his arms for no reason. Let's talk about honorable mentions. Are y'all playing anything right now aside from Doom? Is like a Doom palate cleanser?
I was, much to Chris's chagrin, playing Ori and the Will of the Wisps. But now I've heard that it's not good.
No,
or he's got gripes.
It's fantastic. My only gripe is the first hour of this game of Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Great game. Becomes fantastic. First hour is like, I don't remember the story from the original Ori. I'm sorry. Like, I imagine it has something to do with tree spirits.
I remember being very sad in the first hour of the original game.
But this one is like, there's like an owl who shows up, and then the owl can't fly, and then they give the owl a feather, and everybody has like...
It sounds like the beginning of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, to be honest.
and you don't start with anything. You can't double jump, you can't even attack, you just kind of wander around. I felt helpless. And after being Doom Guy, who, you know, represents me, to go from... feeling like
you get the shotgun right away.
Why does Ori not get the shotgun right away? Is the question I kept asking myself for the first hour of this game.
Well, let's ask Elise. What does she think?
I understand that they had to like regress our abilities. I was like, okay, well, you know, they can't just, if they open the keys to the kingdom right away, then, you know, what is this game really? I felt like you kind of rebuild them back fairly quickly. But I also, like Chris, like as much as I love the first game, didn't really remember much of what the story was. And I think that's more attributed to the fact that like we as a society now consume stuff so rapidly, and we don't take time to reflect on stuff before we move on to the next thing and keep consuming. I think that's how my brain just works now. It just goes, what's the next?
Deposit, like throws that away.
Yeah.
I don't need this garbage anymore.
There's
seen
like
the
something
credits.
About the design too. I don't know. I if you can speak to this, like where it's very pretty, but it's not like it doesn't stick with me. Like it kind of reminds me of back in like the 90s when there was like Disney animation, and you're like, yes, I know what this is. I'm here for it. And then Fern Gully comes out, and like if somebody's like, hey, describe a character from Fern Gully, I'm like, I don't know, two eyes, a mouth, and a nose. Like.
What's the bat from Ferngully? Bartok?
No, Bartok is from The one where the princes in Russia die.
Anastasia.
But, are you, Russ, are you kidding right now? Or are you
No, seriously, isn't Bartok from that movie?
I think you might be right.
Batty Coda is from Fern Gully, as voiced by Robin Williams.
Right. That's Batty Coda, right? Right. Bartok is from the other one, right?
Got it. This is unimportant in any way, such or form. So Ori is bad.
No. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
But not, I mean, just the world's patient. All blur together.
Yeah.
Is it good? Are you enjoying it more than, Chris Plain has not said a lot positive. Elise, are you enjoying the video game Ori?
I am, Chris.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, there it is. Put him in his place. Now that we've gotten all the fake games out of the way, I want to talk about the only true game on this podcast. A real game for true gamers. It's called Murder by Numbers, and you're going to think I made it up just because you've never heard
of it.
But it's real.
I mean, it's a Sting song, so that's a start.
Right, so it's a video game. It's out on the Switch. Came out March 5th. This is a game. Here's a story. Set in 96. You're an actress named Honor Mizrahi that gets fired from her detective TV show, Murder Miss Terry, and she finds a robot in the trash named Scout, and this trash robot doesn't remember anything, and so the two of them are going to be detectives together because there's a murder the same day that she gets fired, and her boss is the one that gets murdered, and you and your trash robot with no memories, Scout, are going to solve the cases together. Your dad was a cop. Mysteriously died. I'm sure we'll unearth more of that. But Justin, what are the mechanics? Well, my friend, the robot from the trash doesn't remember anything, but it does have a visual scanning program that helps it organize, analyze clues and evidence. So the main game mechanic of this is you play Picross, and that is how you unearth the clues. It's good as fuck. I love Picross. And it is, and when you get a new clue, you solve a Picross puzzle, and then you have that piece of evidence, and then you can go back to like talk to people and present your evidence to them, like Ace Attorney style. So, like, as you're going through your conversations, you get new evidence, and then that lets you like unlock new secrets and progress the story.
Let me ask you, why is all the evidence in 16 by 16 pixels? Is it just like a really low res notebook?
It's because it's you're processing it in Scout's scanning.
He needs to upgrade his hardware
system.
Essentially, it's very low res.
It's actually pretty well written. It's kind of funny. It's as a nice like palate cleanser between Doom. It is very good. It's called Murder by Numbers. It's on Switch. And if that I have just told you exactly what it is, you now know with 100% certainty if you like this game or not.
It sounds really in my wheelhouse, actually, of what I usually like. Good.
Should we get some reader mail in here?
Yeah, I'd love that.
So we asked folks both for Doom memories and some questions about the new Doom. One of the questions we got from Adam Major Operation on Twitter. How's the increased lore? Doom 2016 getting ironically, unironically real into its own lore was a weird aspect of the game for me, and I don't know how to feel about that, even increased focus on it. We touched on this a bit. Justin, I think you have feelings here.
No, well, I was just going to... You hit the nail on the head. What I actually think works better than the first Doom is there is... You kill these three hell priests to try to save Earth. And that story is presented from like in the opening moments, and that's all you actually need. And I think you engage with the rest of it as much as you want or don't want. But everything else in the sort of that is directly presented to you, at least from what I've seen, is in service of that main like narrative, if you can call it that.
Yeah. This is a recurring feeling that we have from our listeners at The Color Plaid. I die for Doom, but I'll kill for Animal Crossing. That seems to be the energy in the world right now. That we need Doom, but we need Animal Crossing.
Yeah, we're going to be diving into Animal Crossing next week. I have been playing it for like 3 weeks because I did the review for Polygon. I don't want
to
rub it in too much. Sorry, Earth. But it is an interesting dichotomy to switch between the two of them. But they're also kind of perfect for this time. Both games are kind of perfect for this time, to be honest.
I'm impervious to your powers.
I have a question for you guys. Which game do you think is going to actually result in more anxiety, Animal Crossing or Doom?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because on paper, I mean, I'm feeling very anxious playing Doom, obviously. Sure. But then I worry about
For sure, I have sent about 6 or 7 DMs in the last 2 hours trying to find out what the price of turnips are in the only other code I know of in the office. One other person has a code, and I keep asking her what her turnips are so I don't lose a ton of money in turnips. So maybe that is more anxiety-driven than Doom.
Yeah.
Here, let me do an email real quick. Byron emailed to say, Doom scared me. My cousin had a 32X in Doom, and they made me believe it summoned the devil. Now, years later, looking back, I feel like an idiot.
Okay. A question for all of you from @BreakingCreech. Would you recommend the game to a person who is squeamish? I'll start with Elise.
It's tough because I'm really not squeamish, but I could see some of those glory kills where you're, you know, ripping off like the mech spider's leg and jamming it into its eyeball. I could see somebody finding that a little over the top.
Yeah, I think everyone sort of has that different line, right? Of like what sets them off.
It depends, like if you can play it for a little bit and desensitize yourself to it, because they are all recurring, you know, moments, then maybe.
It's like Elise Willems always says, video games desensitize you to violence.
Put that on the box.
A great way to desensitize yourself to violence.
I have one more that I want to share just because it's a feel good. From @IshtarTheRed, I bonded with my partner over an essay they wrote for college about Doom 2016. As I love you for Christmas, I got them a commemorative Doom coin that they keep next to them on their desk.
Oh,
that's so nice.
Aww, that's very nice.
You know, who says he can't find love in a battlefield?
Don't spend that Doom coin. Careful.
Ray asks, does the Doom Eternal stick to the same basic structure? Walk into a large open area, get pummeled, navigate around the next large open area, get pummeled. Are there more puzzles between areas this time?
This person should be doing more pummeling, I would say. Maybe not playing the game right.
Yeah.
Yeah, lower the difficulty. Enjoy
it. It is not your ass to be beat. It's there.
You are the Doom guy. There's way
more
puzzles.
I'd say a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more. I mean, I think it's kind of up to you, right? Like, I think you could charge through and just keep running into, you know, different engagements. But I would say there's a lot in terms of puzzles.
Yeah. It could. If you want, like, the extra stuff, it's there. It's kind of like what you said, yeah. Justin. Like, if you want to go for those distractions, they're there for you. If you do not have interest in page 9 of the Horrors of Elkabar, you don't have to seek it out. It's okay.
What's tricky, though, is that they show up on your mini-map as question marks. So until you, like, get up on it, you usually don't know what it is you're tracking down. I'm sure there's an upgrade. There are literally 8 different upgrade systems in this game. I may be underestimating.
Question for Elise. You said that you can resist the sheer magnetism of collecting a toy in a video game that is utterly worthless. How do you do it?
Well, I don't. Part of it is not looking at that mini map a lot. Okay. Because when you look at the mini map and then you see where everything is, I think that entices you. I'll do the kind of thing where it's, if I see it in world, if I see like a question mark, then I'm going to go for it. But I don't scour the map looking for like what I've missed, what I could possibly get.
I will give one endorsement for one collectible. It is the vinyl. You get soundtrack, sounds from the soundtrack. And they're like old Doom tracks, and you like in world collect the vinyl, which like sure, why wouldn't it be? But what rules is when you're back at your space castle, you can walk up to them and like play them in the ship, and like it is the most Doom guy ass shit to turn on like a track from Doom 2 and just walk around your castle like, yeah, this is music. Are you kids hearing this? This is what music is.
I can't
is.
Confirm you can do the exact same thing in Animal Crossing. Not even lying.
I
it's all
before you wrap, I want to recommend playing literally the way that Lee's described of like, don't look at the map, because if there's one thing I do regret, this game does have such a cool pace and such a great energy if you just move on through it. And about a third of the way through, I became deeply addicted to 100%ing it.
Oh, no.
Which was not good because I just started living in the map. And it's not... Yeah, there's really no way to make you feel less like Doom Guy than to become a cartographer in the middle of your adventure.
I do wish they had found a way to integrate that a little bit better. I found myself, it's really hard to get your bearings in that map because it stops everything. I wish there was some way to bring it into the world where you had like a little bit better sense of what you were looking for. Because yeah, it feels at odds, although I did enjoy it. Like I enjoyed the puzzle of finding that stuff. It feels a little bit at odds with the pace of the game. All right, let's call it there. This has been so fun. Elise Willems, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. This was a blast.
Where can folks find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Elise Willems. You can find my work on youtube.com/funhouse and roosterteeth.com.
Now, is that funhouse spelled the way everybody on Earth spells it, or a different way?
Yeah, how everyone on Mars, Doom, spells it. That's F-U-N-H-A-U-S.
Also known as Germany.
Excellent. We would ask that you follow and listen for free on Spotify if you don't already. If you want to share the show, you can spread it around with the link besties.fan. If you want to send us an email about Animal Crossing New Horizons, you can send that to mail@besties.fan. Is there anything else I'm forgetting? Thank you for listening. Oh, thank you for being here with
sorry.
Us.
Sorry. You can follow us
please.
On twitter.com at the besties pod. If you want to get the latest updates on the show ahead of everybody else, we have a newsletter and it is the pinned tweet on the top of our Twitter page.
Well, for everyone here, thank you for joining us and be sure to join us again next week for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
A Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter, and our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!